testimony this morning? Amen. Well, you may be seated. Turn around, say hi to somebody, wave to them. If you're watching from home or online today, just let us know where you're watching from. We'd love to see that. Give us some likes and thumbs up in the comments as well. I just have a few announcements today before we get into what I want to share. But first thing is, we have little cards that we made to help us invite people to church. So we encourage you to invite people every week anyway to church with you. But we during this Easter season, it's always a little easier because people are more likely to attend during a special holiday. And so it's easier during the season just to hand someone a card and say, hey, I think you'd really like our church. Why don't you come sit with me? And there's a list of different church services that we have available during this next Easter season. And just a quick story, 22 years ago, my husband Ben was invited to church, and his mom, I love this story because his mom kept asking him to come, like, come to church, like, every week, and I hadn't met him before this, but finally he says he came to church to shut his mom up, and I love that story. I'm so thankful he did that because I am now married to the man, but I just love that story about his mom being persistent, saying, come to church, come to church, come to church, and he finally was like, fine, I'll come to church, and look at what that does when we invite somebody to church. It could change the direction of their life completely, so even if you feel like you're being annoying, just keep being annoying. Keep inviting those people to church. Eventually, they'll probably come, and we will be able just to love on them and show God's love as well. Amen. And then the second thing is, we're excited to start up our Next Steps class in April 18th. What that is it's a class that explains who we are as a church, what we believe in, and then it also helps explain your role in the kingdom of God. So it's a two-part class. Paul and Becky McCowan lead that class very well. Yeah. Whoop. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back. They'll both be out back there. You can sign up for those classes. Again, it's two classes. It tells who we are as a church body, what we believe in. And then it also tells the second class is actually my favorite. It helps you just be directed in which way to use your gifts that God has given you. So sign up for those classes. I was scrolling through Instagram, as I do, and I follow a guy. His name is Bishop Dale Broner. If you guys know him, he's phenomenal. But he posted this question, and I had to really think about it, and it really made me pause and just think about what he was saying, and I loved it, so I wanted to share it with you. It says, if God blessed you substantially, could he trust you to do the right things with the blessing to help others? If God blessed you substantially, could he trust you to do the right things with the blessing to help others? And I love that statement. I love that question. I love questions that make me think about where I am at in my life. And so first, I thought, have we trusted God in everything, in every area? We hear that all the time, right? Trust God with this, trust God with that. Have you trusted God? So have we trusted God in every area of our life? The Bible says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path, right? So have we trusted him fully, 100%? Given him everything in our work, in our family, in our relationships, in our friendships, in our dreams, with our finances, in everything. Have we trusted God? But secondly, can God trust you? What are we doing with what God has given to us? Can God trust us with what he's been given to us? There's an encounter in Luke 19, and I'm sure many of us have heard of it, but this is what I thought of when I read this question, where the king goes away and he hands 10 of his servants 10 pounds of silver. And he says, I need you to take care of this while I'm gone. And so when he comes back, he goes up to each of the servants. And so he goes to the first guy. And the first servant says, well, I've made 10 times the amount that you've given me. And the king says, well done. Now you can govern 10 cities. He's like, awesome. So then he goes to the second guy. And the second guy says, well, I made 5 times the amount that you gave me. And the king says, well done. Now I'm going to give you this land. You can govern 5 cities. And then he goes to the third guy. And the third guy was like, well, I was scared. I didn't do anything with it. And he's like, you wicked servant. And this is what he says. Why didn't you at least deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten interest on it. Then turning to the others standing nearby, the king ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. But master, they said, he already has 10 pounds. Yes, the king replied, and to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Which brings me back to the question, if God blessed you substantially, could he trust you to do the right things with the blessing to help others? You see, God has given us everything we need to do what he has asked us to do. Can he trust us with those resources that he's given us? Can he trust us with the gifts and the talents that he's given us to do what he has asked us to do? So first, we should, yes, trust him with our life, with our dreams, with our finances. But then, will we give back to him what he's entrusted to us? Can God trust us with what he's been given to us? Amen. Amen. There's different ways to give up on the screen this morning. You can text, push pay, envelope, put it in the mailboxes on your way out, or you can always send it through the mail during the week. But I just want to encourage you to trust God with everything, every area of your life, and then ask yourself, well, can God trust me with what he's been given to me? Amen. Amen. Pastor Ryan.
Give her a hand. How many of you like the girl power up here this morning? I know the woo-hoo crowd love the girl power. I like it too, if you haven't noticed. So we're thankful for all the ladies. Amen. Amen. And this morning as I contemplated, I really draw a blank yesterday, and I share that with you to tell you if you're drawing a blank ever, just ask the Lord and he'll kind of give you a little direction in all kinds of areas in your life. When you draw a blank as a dad, as a mom, as an employer, an employer, a business owner, just go to the Lord and say, hey, I need a little help in this area. And all of a sudden you'll get an impression from heaven. And the impression that I got from heaven is a story that I wasn't overly familiar with, but I began to make myself more familiar with it last night. We went to Bender's on Friday night with our friends Todd and Cheryl, and we bought a bunch of stuff, and I got to use a new commentary that I bought for the first time. Hint, hint, if you want one, go get one. It's fantastic. And I begin to read about this story with Ruth and Naomi in talking about girl power, and I just got a little bit more of a nudge this morning as I walked in here. And Ruth is put in a particular set of circumstances, along with Naomi. They're put in a position where much is taken from them. Have you ever been in a position where just thing after person after difficulty kept coming to you, and you thought, where is God in the midst of this? Why am I in this set of circumstances? And I think sometimes we have to be careful, because many of us have been blessed in such a way that we don't recognize when things are small and when things are great. Let me explain what I mean by that a little bit more. Naomi is put in a position where she loses the person she loves, her husband. Then she's put in a deeper set of circumstances where she loses her sons. I don't know about you, but I haven't been faced with those type of circumstances. And I find myself at times complaining about things that really just don't matter. And as I read this scripture, as I contemplated this scripture, the spirit of this woman is so positive. The words of this woman is so positive. The context, the way she walked, the way she talked, the spirit of which she faced obstacles and difficulty was so positive. She goes to these two daughter-in-laws after losing her son. She goes to her two daughter-in-laws and she says, listen, go back home. I'll never be able to fulfill the longing of your heart. I can't provide you with what you came here for. So deeper than losing her husband, deeper than losing her sons, deeper than losing the lineage, the next tier, the next level of her life, she proposes in herself. She tells her daughter-in-laws, go back home. Because I can't fulfill in you what you need fulfilled. And one of the daughter-in-laws, very graciously, she heads home to where she came from, to her family. But this woman named Ruth, she says, you know what? I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not running off. I'm not changing course because I feel something here. I feel something in this place with this people, with you, with my family, with my friends, with my people. She says, I'm not going anywhere. And this cascade of events begins to happen, and you can see God's hand all over her life, and not only all over her life, but all over her spirit. I don't know about you, but even if I can't see God's hand in my life, I want people to be able to see God's spirit in my spirit. I want people to look on at me and say, even though he had difficulty in this area of his life, he continued to look to heaven to be his source, to be that fuel to his fire, to keep him moving. He didn't get negative. He didn't get nasty. He didn't get rude. He didn't get mean. He kept doing what God called him to do in the season of his life. And so my first thought this morning for you is, even when life circumstances are difficult, how is your spirit? How are the words that are coming out of your mouth? You're going to hear this morning a wonderful word from the Lord on your words. How is your words? My second thought is this. Ruth is in a predicament with her mother-in-law, where she's grasping to just have her basic needs met. I don't know about you, but I've seen people, and I've watched my family go through moments and seasons where I knew mom and dad were trying to make a buck into $5. You ever been there before? Taking a quarter and turning it into a dollar, cutting the mold off the potatoes and cutting the rest up and throwing it in the oven and say, oh, isn't that taste wonderful, boys? Ruth is in this predicament, and the scripture literally, it shows her, it says that she asked, she had to travel a little way, and she asked, may I go get, my dad said a few weeks ago in the scripture, they used to leave the corner of the field, and that's where Ruth ends up. She ends up in the corner of the field with her head down, quiet, just trying to collect enough produce to get by to the next day. You ever been there before? Just trying to get enough. And all of a sudden, the owner of this land comes along and says, hey, who's that lady way off in the corner up there working so hard, so diligently, doing so much, way in the back, way... She no one noticed her. No one noticed her. She went unnoticed. She was way off in the corner. She was underutilized. People looked at her and said, she'll never amount to anything. She's just trying to grasp just a little bit just to get by. And the owner comes along and plucks her from obscurity and says, hey, come on over here. My second thought is this. He takes the overlooked and the underdog and pulls them from the corners of life and uses them for his glory. And this morning, I felt this so strongly that someone feels, you feel like you're the underdog in every circumstance and in every job you've ever had and in every relationship that you've ever been in. You kind of felt like you were the overlooked one. And God's going to take you from the corner if you'll continue to serve him, if you'll continue to keep your heart right, if you'll continue to keep your attitude right. Well, Ryan, you're just saying that because it sounds good and you just need something to preach about. No, I'm not saying that. I'm actually living it. I'm living in this blessing. I'm living the life of the guy in the corner that was the underdog and the discounted and the guy that could barely get through high school and could barely stand up in front of people and could barely have a conversation, the shyest guy in the room. And God has laid his hand on me in a particular way. And I just look and say, every good and perfect gift from the Father of lights. I just, as I'm walking along, I just go, Lord, how did you do this? How did this happen? How did you bring this about? But he takes people from the corner and he uses them in a particular way. And my last thought is this. Ruth is out in the field and she's looking just to get enough to eat. She's not even looking for a husband. She's not even looking for an opportunity. She's not even looking for God to shift her into the next season. She's just out there trying to get into tomorrow. Just get enough to eat for tomorrow. She's not looking for a big blessing. Not looking for anything crazy. Hey, think of me when the next promotion comes up. It was nothing like that. She's off in the corner of life just trying to get by. And all of a sudden, she ends up not only getting married, but marrying the guy that owned the land that she was picking the stuff up from. You know what that makes her? It makes her the owner. Let me take you a step further. I'll take you a step further than that. The mother-in-law that she said she'd never leave, she said in the scripture, I won't leave you. I sense and feel and I see something here. I just can't leave you. I know you told me to. I know you think it's for my best interest, but I'm not leaving no matter what. She's out there just picking up the crumbs. And God not only gives her a husband, God not only makes her a partial owner of this land, but you know what the husband does? He ends up buying the mother-in-law's land. So Ruth not only ends up with a husband, she not only ends up with more than enough, she not only ends up being the owner of that land, but she ends up being the owner of the original land that she wouldn't left because God blesses the loyal. You didn't catch that. You didn't even catch what I said. God blesses the loyal. All throughout the scripture, all throughout the pages of that book, God looks at the loyal one. Oh, who can lay their pride aside? Who can lay their own ambition aside? Who can lay aside their own flesh glory and give the glory to me? That's the guy I want. That's the girl I want. That's the family I want. Instead of doing that for themselves, they did it for the glory of God. God always blesses the loyal. It's okay if you don't clap as good as I'm preaching. I'll preach it anyway. If you want that kind of blessing, lift your hand in the house of the Lord. Father, teach us to be loyal, not only to one another, but to your work, to your kingdom, to your plan, to your way, to Father, to the people that you lay your hand on, to the Naomi, to the Boaz, to the people that you place in our lives for a particular reason, for a particular time, for a particular moment in history. Teach us, Father, to be loyal. I even pray for those that have raised their hand in here, Father, that you would lay that type of crazy, obscure, over-the-top blessing on their life. That one thing came and they said, man, this is great. Thank you so much. Then another blessing came. Oh, my Lord, this is wonderful. It's got to be the best I've ever seen. But, Father, you take us from glory to glory to glory, to faith, from faith to faith to faith, from blessing to blessing to blessing. It would be crazy. Over the top, overwhelming blessing, embarrassing blessing that we even have tried to hide and put away so people wouldn't scorn us and pick on us. But Father, give us the strength to do what you've called us to do with the blessing that you give us. We thank you for it. If you receive it, say thank you. Say it again, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people in Jesus' name.
Amen. Good word. I was thinking of just staying seated and just saying, Take it, Ryan. That's great. Great message. Good morning. Great to see all of you today. It's a great day. We're in a great season. In a great season. I know with all the external things that are going on, you might question that, but I want to encourage you. We are in a great time. We're in a great season. And God has some great things for each and every one of us. How many of you just say, come on, bring it on, Lord. Come on. How many of you say, just come on, bring it on. Come on. You know, when you clap like that, you bring that into your life. It's affirmation. When it's spoken to you, you receive that. Have you ever tried to give a gift to somebody and they say, oh, no, I don't want that? It's like, I went to all this trouble to get it. Take it and be quiet. And I'm not as good at receiving as I am. I love to give. I live to give. Patty and I talked yesterday. I can't even remember what she did, and I can't remember what I did. But I said, honey, look at that. Both of us, we've sowed a blessing into somebody else, and the day hasn't even begun yet. That means we're going to be blessed the rest of the day. Make sure that you live with a mindset like that. That you just don't live as a consumer. If you live to get, you only get two times a year, on your birthday and on Christmas. But if you live to give, if your hands are open, God will fill them every day that you live. Come on today with that. That was all free. I just want to remind you of a couple things. Wednesday, our food giveaway will keep on going. Thank you to all the volunteers that have made that happen. You're just amazing. Our Connect groups, if you're not in one, you should look that up and be a part of one. Our Next Steps, you heard about that, is coming, going to start again soon. We've got a lot of things that are going to be trickling in. I know some of you're asking, you know, when's this going to happen? When's that going to happen? And here's the answer, as best as I can give it to you. I don't know, but it's coming. Everybody say, just look at your neighbor and say, it's coming. Come on, it's coming. I want to just remind everybody, Gary Pacenti, he's our guitar player. His dad went home to be with the Lord last week, and the funeral service for him will be right here this Tuesday, calling hour 6 to 7, service at 7 o'clock. Would love to see as many here. And just show your love to the Pacente family. Last Thursday night, if you were not here, Brad T. knocked it out of the park. Come on, can we put our hands together? This Thursday, Pastor Aaron Martin is going to share God's word. It's always just a highlight. Keep in prayer, Carol McDermott is in Mexico. I heard she's doing really good. Checked on her yesterday with the Todds. She's behaving and she's doing really great. Thank the Lord. And we have these Easter invites. They're going to be in the back on the way out. The ushers will have some in their hand. Please take that. Invite somebody to come to church with you on Easter. Last Easter, it was just a handful of us in the house. This Easter, I can't say it because we're all online. But anyways, we're going to have a great day. We're going to have a great day. I love all of you that are watching online, too. And if you ever want my notes, email me, pm@thecitychurch.com. Just real easy. PM as in Pastor Marty. Actually, Pastor Marty or pm@thecitychurch.com works. And I know our video projector needs a little love over here, but that means you all have to look this way, and that means you'll be looking more at me. I saw somebody, I saw a little picture on social media where there was a service somewhere, and I think the pastor was speaking to youth, young people, and conviction came over as they were speaking about, instead of them worshiping, they were all looking on their phone. And conviction came on one of the kids, and he brought his phone up, and he laid it up on the altar. And pretty soon, a few minutes later, the whole altar was full of cell phones. Just think sometime, I'm going to do that. I'm just going to lay my phone right up on the altar. I'm just going to focus on This is a moment that God has for each and every one of us. Not that I'm anything special or any of the other people that speak up here, but when God's word is being shared, it's an important moment for every one of us. You're going to hear something today that will really impact your life. And if you could just lay down all the distractions for just a moment and take that in, your life will really be impacted. It really will. I thought I'd get more than a half an amen on that when I said that this morning. But God's got something great for every single one of us today. So I just want to pray. I want to talk to you. Something touched my heart this week, and somebody said something. And I stopped and I said, wait a minute, what did you say? I'll talk about it in just a minute. Lord, thank you for this moment that we're together. Have your way in every one of our lives. Be glorified, be lifted up today. Encourage and bless your people, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said a big amen. Amen. I want to just talk to you about this thought this morning, about what we do say with our mouth and how our words impact our lives. We are in a season of Lent, a season of a real consecration. Not that we should wait for just seasons and moments like this. This should be a part of our life every day. But this is a moment that is like a restart for many of our lives. It's 40 days up until Easter season that God just lays on your heart. Maybe you'll lay some things down. Maybe you'll pick some things up of value. Maybe it's just as easy as getting into one of these small groups at one time. Maybe it's turning off the social media or turning off your favorite news source. It may just be inundating your life with fear and uncertainty. In 3 weeks, we'll celebrate Easter together. 2 weeks, celebrate Palm Sunday. I'm one of the books, I have several that I read at the same time. One of them that I'm really reading right now really challenged me in how I thought and the things that I spoke about. And it really took me to a level, and I believe in that with all my heart, but this took me to a level that I'm not used to. And I, to be honest with you, at first, my tendency was a little bit to just reject it. Like, I didn't like how it was pressuring me, and that it was encouraging me to do some things that I personally just, I didn't think I needed. In fact, I even told Patty, we were driving down the road, and I was telling you, you know, I'm thankful for this, and I'm thankful for that, and I read this, and I'm just not, you know, I'm not convinced of that. And then all of a sudden, I felt this conviction come over me that it's more than just about me. That if I just live for me, how small my life really will be. That rhymed, and I didn't even know it. If I live for me, how small my life will be. Maybe that's the title of a book. I got to pause and think on that for just a minute. If I just think about me, how small my life will be. And so, but I realized it wasn't just about me. It was about me being able to do more and to be a greater blessing to people around me, to the world that I live in. And so I encourage you today with myself to ask greatly of the Lord, to trust him for things that you never thought possible, to allow him to take you on a greater journey than you ever thought or you ever experienced before, to trust him when you're fearful, when you don't understand, when you're literally afraid of taking that step, but you say, God, I know that you are with me and that I'm going to trust you. And just trust the Lord for some greater. And ask him to give you the strength for the journey that you're on right now. Ask him to give you victories in the areas that you're struggling with. I just want to tell somebody this morning that if there's a particular area that you're struggling with and it's really having a destructive force on your life, that's not who you are. God did not create you to be that person. Maybe you're there now, but who and what God has created you to be is beyond anything you could even imagine. Come on, you need to believe that. What God has created and called you to is beyond anything you could even imagine. And you need to pray and believe that he will answer that. And we need to change sometimes just the way we speak with our mouth. Instead of us speaking negative words and engaging in negative talk, how about beginning to speak words that encourage, words that build up, words that create, words that describe what your destiny should be, not what it looks like it may be. Words that I speak not only have the potential to change who I am, but they have the potential to change who others are. And I've learned one thing for certain, that I can never speak healthy words into the lives of others until I speak them into my own life and into my own family. And I believe the potential that exists within us has to start with our hearts and with the words that we speak. Listen to me just for a moment. If salvation, if it is, and it is, it's the greatest gift that God could ever give any one of us. It is the free gift of God. The Bible says, lest any man should boast. If the gift of salvation is as life-changing, as life-altering, as history-changing as it is, it begins with what comes out of your mouth. Think of what your world could be. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. If you believe it and you speak it, you are it. And if that takes place in the most incredible moment that you or I could ever experience in our lives, think about the power that is in what we speak. We have to believe that he is with us. We have to speak life not only to ourselves, but to everyone who is around us. And I want to tell every family member, you got to start it in your own home first. Don't walk into the church and slap that smile on your face and then go home and start complaining about what you don't have for lunch. Say things like, thank you, Lord, that you're with me. Thank you, Lord, that you are for me. Call things that are not as though they were. Speak into existence the incredible dreams that God has laid in your heart. Don't be afraid to articulate it with your mouth. Open up your mouth. Begin to say what God says. Begin to confess what he says about us. Stop saying things like, that could never happen for me. Stop speaking harmful words to your spouse, to your family, to at your work, at your place of employment. Begin to speak words that inspire not only you, but the people that are around you. If Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that when God created the world, he could have willed it into existence. He could have blinked his eyes. But that's not what he chose. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says again, and God said. In chapter 9, it says, and God said. In chapter 11, it says, and God said. In chapter 4, in verse 14, it says, and God said. In verse 20, and God said. In verse 24, then God said. In verse 26 and 29, then God said. And in verse 31, the Bible says, after everything he said, it says, then God saw that everything he made was good. And if God speaks the world into existence, you and I can speak our lives. We can speak hope. We can speak life. We can speak purpose. We can speak healing and transformation and life into every person that we come in contact with. Let go of some of the negative things. Your life, the universe, has been wired that we shall speak forth what we shall see. And let go of the negative that hinders the potential that God has placed inside of your life. I feel like dropping the mic right now, and I'm just talking about it just a little bit. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for we live in the world, we don't wage war like the world does. For the weapons we fight are not with weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. A stronghold is a prisoner locked by deception, which means we live a life by something that is not true. Well, you know, I just think this is the way God does it, or I think this is the way it could be. Again, with all due respect, I honor the way you think, but if your thinking is stinking, nothing good will come from it. You can't just think, well, I think this is right, or I think that is right. You have to sometimes take God's word and apply it to what you think. And some people I've come to understand, they don't even realize what they're saying. They don't even realize. It just comes out of their mouth, and afterwards they're like, I do that very thing. I'll say something I'm thinking, oh, I wouldn't have said that. I want to just encourage everyone here today to take a little spot from Brad T's message Thursday night. Sometimes you need to pause before you open this thing up. Pause and think about it just a little bit. And what gave me the title to this was, I was in the men's meeting last Wednesday night, and it's just a great meeting. The men are engaged, and Debbie Tom made food for us. It was the best beef stew that I've ever eaten in my life. Dear God, I could go for a big bowl of that right now, but I can't. And one of the men, he was sharing a little bit, and he described, he said something that pertained of what he was, but he put it in present day vernacular of what he is. And I heard that, and I said, wait a minute, what did you say? That's not true. I knew his heart wasn't, but I had to correct that, because 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, God took not only who you are, who you were, he took the negative in your life, he took your personal struggles, your failures, your sin, your shortcomings, your negative words, your harsh actions and reactions. He took all of that. God said he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was in the beginning. He'll be in the end. He is with us now. The three, the Godhead, three in one. The God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He took his Son, who knew no sin. Half of his chromosomes were divinity and half of them were humanity. He took him who knew no sin, born into the world from a virgin, sinless. He took him who knew no sin and he put the sin of the world on him. My goodness, Lord, I thank you and praise you for that. He took my shortcomings. He took every evil deed I've ever done, every negative word I've ever spoken, every harsh action that I've ever done, every sin that I've ever committed in my life, and every one that you committed. And he put it on him who knew no sin. Not that we would call ourselves what we were anymore, but so that we can declare with the world, I am not who I was. I have been bought with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus. Come on, the first service applauded that better than you are. And we need to correct the way we talk and how we look at ourselves and look at others. He became sin, so that we could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we have to guard this tongue, my brothers and my sisters, because Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it, you either love life or you love death. Whatever and however your tongue articulates it, that is the fruit you will live on. You speak negative, you speak harsh, you speak evil, guess what your fruit in your life will be? You speak life, you speak hope, you speak joy, you speak blessing, guess what the fruit of your life will be? The Bible says that God blesses the righteous, Psalm 5:12. Oh, Lord, you cover him with favor as with a shield. Come on, you and I have favor in our lives. Come on, just say, I got favor. Come on, say it. I got favor. You bless him. The Bible says in Psalm 30, verse 5, his favor lasts for a lifetime. He didn't give you a little bit today, and because you mess up tomorrow, pull it away. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. He does not take them back. God told Moses to tell Aaron and his sons to bless the Jewish people by saying this over him. And I've said this over this congregation hundreds of times in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you great peace. And you declare that over our lives. And you and I can say the same thing. Maybe there's areas in your life that need speaking to, that need a God-like declaration over them. Instead of ignoring it and just saying, well, that's just me, begin to change the way you think. And stop believing something just because, well, this is what I think. My brothers and my sisters, if it doesn't line up with what this thinks, then you're just living a pipe dream. But when you speak what this speaks, life takes a turn for you and I. Speak truth over it. Leave the defeat, the negative, maybe even what you have been taught that is simply not true. Leave it alone. Move away from it. Listen to this. Because you encourage what you want to see, and you see what you have encouraged. You want me to say that again? You encourage what you want to see, and you see what you have encouraged. I'll say that one more time, because I think you need to hear it. Maybe write it down. You encourage what you want to see, and you see what you have encouraged. You've heard me tell a story about my own son, Ryan, when he was in school. He shared a little bit of it this morning. He was challenged. He didn't like school. Teachers picked on him. Other kids picked on him. Not when he came home. I got poster board one time. He was struggling. We lived in Seattle, Washington. It was a hard time. We lived in this little three-bedroom condominium when we were out there. Had the stairway. I went and got these big poster boards. I wrote on them, and I sticked them all over the wall. So when he took a step up them stairs, he'd have to look right straight ahead at the word of God in his life. And as he walked up the stairs on both sides, I had these big poster boards with the word of God on them. You are more than enough. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're an overcomer. You're above and not belief. You're ahead and not behind. You are the head and not the tail. God is for you. And had that drilling into his heart and his spirit. And I got to tell you, back then, I didn't have anybody standing back and applauding me and saying, yeah, you're doing the right thing. This is going to happen. We were living by faith and faith alone in God. I laid it on the line with God. I said, God, you're either who you say you are, or you have lied to me from the beginning. I don't believe you're a liar. I believe you're going to see me through. You're going to see my family through. And you're going to see my little boy through to the end. And he's going to do great things for you. And I stood up, and them teachers down there that badmouthed him, and I said, what you said was a lie. And if you ever say it again, the wrath of God is coming on you, because this little boy, he's going to do great things in this life and for the Lord. And come on, we are walking in that right now from the words that were spoken in our home and in our family. You got to change the way you think. You got to change the way you talk about things. You got to change the way you talk about others, about how you talk about your family, about how you talk about your spouse. Quit walking in and saying, man, I wish you would have done this, and why are you doing this, and why are you acting this way? Walk into the house. My wife walks into my office every Sunday morning. She gets out of bed. She comes over. I love my wife. Her hair, before anybody else sees it, it's like she stuck her finger into a wall socket, and it went in 4,000 different directions. She opens up that door. She's a little sleepy looking. Her hair is every which way. She goes, hi, honey. I go to her, man, honey, you look so beautiful this morning. I can't hardly contain myself. And she'll go, oh, stop it. What she's really saying is, tell me more. I want to hear it again. You need to change that conversation in your home. Change it in your household. Stop thinking that it's just the way you are. It's who I am. I just do this because it's who I am. It's my identity. No. You can change that. In the sight of God, you are not that. You are what He says you will be. I said, you are what He says you will be. You may be struggling right now. You may have walked into this place today. You may be squirming in the seat right now. Maybe you're watching me at home and just kind of all beside yourself right now. You are not who you are right now. You are who God says you will be. You gotta just because you quit, you gotta stop feeling that it's over. You can't feel the hopelessness anymore. You gotta rise up above that. You gotta know that there is always hope for your life and for your future. You gotta stop saying things, well, it's just what I think. Can I just with all due respect, it doesn't matter just what you think about something. You know, when I was brought up, my dad was abusive. I thought every dad was like my dad. Because if that's the way I thought, nothing could be further from the truth. You got to quit saying, well, this is just the way I think, or your opinion. Your opinion is good, but if it doesn't have relevance with God's word, it doesn't matter. Can I say that just with all kindness and with all honesty? I've had so many people over the years to say, well, I think this. And it's I say this with all kindness. It's wrong. And you need God's help. And you need the help of others. When you hear something that goes against what you think, it is not your moment to back out and back away. Especially if it's connected to the word of the Lord. It's your moment to step in and believe God for the great things that He has. I'm going to skip a verse up there, Paul. I want to go right to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin. You're not under condemnation. And I know some people that are King James only, they're saying, wait a minute, you left out part of that verse. And the King James says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Can I tell you? That is incorrect. That's not in the original Greek language. That was added afterwards. I'm not putting down King James. Some of you, King James only. Lady, just tear me from one side and down, I can't believe that you use anything other than the King James Bible. That's what Paul used, and you should use it too. That's a joke. Because that's what they thought. But the Bible says, when you receive Christ as Lord and Savior, there's no condemnation. Because sometimes you do, after you know Jesus, still walk after your flesh. And if we become condemned because we make that mistake, we stop right there. And Jesus said, wait a minute. I don't want you to keep on living the lives of failure, mistake, and poor choices. I want you to come with me. But don't stop there because you think that I don't love you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ. Come on. Let me close on these three last thoughts. Put God first in every area of your life. When you do that, your language will change. Not when it's easy and convenient, but you put Him first every single day of your life. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, 2, and 3. And God spoke all these words. I love it. Just do a little study in your Bible and just go and do a little word search on where God spoke. And how many times he spoke. He said, and God spoke all these words. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. It's okay to have other things and have other fun things to do, but not in front of God. Not first. Second, say no to the flesh. Instead of feeding it, say no. Say no to it. Say, I'm not going to do that. And it could start with something that you eat or you drink. It could start that small. But when you keep on giving the flesh what it craves and what it desires. I had a hard time just this morning. Amy came up and said, I got an extra egg, bacon, sausage, muffin, cheese. Oh, I feel like just praying right now. And I'm like, yeah, in my mind. And then, no, because I remember this. Sometimes I got to say, that doesn't mean you, Amy, you are so kind. Please ask me again. In fact, while I'm on the subject, Amy makes the best bacon-wrapped jalapenos in the world. Can I hear an amen at least from her husband? Say no. Not to the jalapenos, to the flesh. Romans 6, don't let sin reign in your body so that you obey its evil desires. For sin shall not be your master. Got to move past that. And then lastly, come on, Debbie, go all in with Jesus. Give him everything. Don't give him just a little bit. Don't just be a Sunday Christian. Don't come in and you got that big smile on your face and you walk out and you start, you know, arguing with somebody in your family. Go all in with him. We're in the season of Lent. You know, religion says I have to do this or that during this season. But God says, I invite you. I invite you. I'll empower you to make some adjustments in your life. Is that good? God said, I'll empower you to make some adjustments in your life. I don't have to sit up here with a list of them. You and I all know what they are. He'll empower you. He'll strengthen you. He'll give you hope. He'll give you dreams that you never thought possible. He'll take you places that you never thought you could go. He'll bring people in front of you that nobody else could really talk to but you. He'll have people reach out to you and care for you when you're weak. And then when you're strong, he'll cause you to care for others. This life just isn't about what we want. Well, this makes me feel good. I want to do this and that person. And it's about how can I lay my life down for others? In the message again, Romans 12, 2, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. From the inside out. It's not what's outside. It's from the inside. He said he'll change you from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops a well-formed maturity in you. Close your eyes with me just for a moment. Those of you that are watching at home too, I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. I love you. I love those of you that are here this morning. God wants to do something in you, with you. Some of you are here today, you have a broken heart. Some of you are here today, you're a direct result of some words that you have spoken or have been spoken over you. And the Lord, he wants you to know he can change all of that. He can make all things brand new. But it has to start with you. And it has to start right now. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your power, your anointing, your life. Thank you. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that great gift. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be a participant and a participator in the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life through Christ. Your eyes still closed. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I don't want nothing from you. I may never see you again. Maybe you're watching online. I don't even know who you are. But if you've never given your life to Christ, as I said that verse out of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, God raised Christ from the grave, you shall be saved. Just right where you're at, just say, Lord, I believe. I believe. Father, I pray for everyone that is dealing with eternal perspectives and directives right now. God, empower them. Empower your people to live and to do what you have called and created each of us to be and to do. And I ask it today in Jesus' name. And everybody said a great amen. I love you. I thank God for you. I love those of you watching at home. We're so grateful for every one of you. Go in His grace. Be blessed highly. Tell people around you on the way out. Tell them something incredible that will impact their life. God bless you.